Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. If you're watching on Monumental Sports Network right now, you see our in-studio guest, Frank Caliendo, performing at DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. Go to dcimprov.com for all of your ticket information. Welcome, Frank. Good to see you again.
Yeah, great to be here, guys. That's all I got.
Are your eyes getting bad? You pulled out the glasses. I was just talking to Valdez. He's got bad eyes.
I can't see anything. We were talking about
it happens like overnight.
Yeah, when I noticed it was COVID. Because yeah. I was looking at the little screen on my phone all the time.
Pushing it further away.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't. And now it's way worse. That's the one thing. We're talking about doctors and stuff like that. I don't do is get my eyes checked because I just know they're going to be horrific.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't wear them with headphones. Hey, guys. What's going on? You guys having fun?
So are those just readers?
Trying to get into the stream, guys, because this looks really, really cool.
Are those just readers?
Yeah, these are readers.
Readers, yeah.
Yeah, so my brother-in-law just bought me readers. And
I probably got them at like Costco.
These are like high level. These are Cartier or something, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he goes and gets, I was getting the ones at Walgreens and losing them. I buy like 50 of them and leave them all around the house because I lose them constantly. So I just open up a drawer. I have one already planted. Sure. So it's that type of thing. But yeah, I can't see. And I used to pride myself on my vision. That was like a superpower.
Yeah.
People would have me read signs from miles away.
Yeah.
And now I can't even see my phone. It's just, I had that big font on the phone a lot of time. I just brought it down in the last couple of days because people were making fun of me too much.
Yeah. Valdez will do that. If he sees big font on your phone, he will goof on
you. I'm right there behind you. Frank, I can't see so much. I had to switch to a yellow golf ball. So I couldn't see one. That's embarrassing.
That is pretty pathetic. It's not good when your phone separates single syllable words into multiple lines. It only has four letters. How can it's an eye chart now?
Hey, not to dive just right into impressions, I was thinking of you. I watched Celtic City on HBO Max. It's a Bill Simmons documentary about the Celtics.
Go figure, Bill Simmons do something.
That's weirdly random.
It got me thinking, because you used to do Bill Walton.
Yeah.
And
I did games with him.
Oh, you did?
A couple of games with him. Yeah, Dave Pasch, his partner, lives down, not down the street, maybe 10 miles from me in Phoenix. So I became great friends with Dave Pasch, actually. But I did two games. I did the Arizona State game. I'm trying to think of who they played. If you pull it up, Frank Caliendo, Bill Walton on ESPN.
So you're just there to like goofing? You're not doing it like seriously? You're just goofing
around? No, I went in and sat there with him, and we did, I'm just sitting there. How great is this? Enjoying the game. What is going on here? Throw it down, big man. Has there ever been a player at this level before? This is Detlef Schrempfian. I can't believe it. To the point where it was so
great. Did he like it?
Oh, yeah, he loves it. I've been friends with Bill for a long time, or was friends with him for a long time.
Yeah.
To the point where, in that game, where Dave Pasch goes, this is the first time Bill has actually been the one talking about basketball during the game. The actual Bill Walton kept bringing it back to the game.
Right.
But they had me come back to the game. Like, it comes in. They round the saguaro cactus, and I'm like, as we're here in the great state of Arizona, ready the saguaro cacti, ready for us to go. And, like, there are points where you can kind of hear, like, you almost can't tell it's him or me.
Right. That was Oregon ASU back in 2020.
Yeah.
And I guess you also did one with him, Colorado, Arizona.
Yeah, there was a...
So who invites you? Pasch invited you?
Pasch, I talked to Pasch and then we go to ESPN. And Bill was all in on it. Bill had been coming to shows since... I did a show in San Diego for like the, you know, Commerce or something, you know, something in the city. I don't know.
Department of Commerce.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that, but it was, you know, like a, you know, like a city thing for businesses, that type of thing.
Lucrative private gig, I'm assuming.
It was an okay kind of private gig, but it was more, it was a little more open, maybe a charity type of thing.
Okay.
So it wasn't as lucrative.
Okay.
Do you have to discount charity gigs?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I usually don't do any bar. If they come with a price, I kind of just go, whether I want to do it or not or can do it. I don't really try to bring it up. Sometimes the agents don't. I'm like, that doesn't feel right. Let's see. Either I take it or I don't.
What's the most you've ever hammered somebody before?
In a corporate gig?
Yeah.
Now we're getting into your pocket.
No, honestly.
That's usually my move.
I'll tell you what. I filled in for people. that were way more famous than me, over $100,000.
For what do you got to do? 45 minutes or something?
Yeah, and then there's, you know, meet and greets and pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, I filled in for guys like Leno and stuff like. Remember when Leno burned his face?
Yeah, I was
the guy who filled in for him in Vegas
that night.
That's
so right. 100K.
Yeah, yeah. Boom. Somewhere around there. I don't even think he gets that like in a plane. They'll tell me how much. I'll be, how much? It's today?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right. I'll figure out a way. And there were no flights. And I'm like, I can't get there. And I couldn't. There wasn't enough time to drive. They're like, we'll try and find a plane. They got me a plane one way to it. And then I had to find my way home.
That's fine.
Which I figured out ways.
I had plenty of ways.
But they had
do you do a Leno?
Yeah, of course I do. I've run with them a few times. The problem is that. It's pretty much the same as Mike Tyson or Beaker from the Muppet Show. So this, let me get back to that corporate event in San Diego. So I'm like, they're like, with the sports impressions are going to go over the best. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. And Bill Walton's from San Diego there. Well, he's here and he's, I don't know. He's got, his back is bad. And I'm like, well, we'll see. I'm nice about this stuff. And they're all worried about it. I start doing, I remember being at Berkeley, blotches of beard not connecting in my face. I could smell colors.
Yeah.
I could feel sounds. So I'm doing that. And people are like, I can see the people on the side worried about
getting
it.
Nervous.
There with a towel in the back, stands up 6'7" Bill Walton. Hilarious. Unbelievable. I have never been in the presence of anything better. Right. This is what comedy is all about. So he would bring people to shows after that sometime. Bill Walton. You notice when Bill Walton passed away, almost nobody talked about his basketball career. Like, it wasn't about basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was all about who he helped and the people he was around.
People loved him.
Oh,
right?
I mean, he was the nicest guy in the world. But if you emailed him anything, 3 pages of nothing, I love you, BW. I mean, it was always, I mean,
he would respond.
As I sit here under this eucalyptus tree. Like, he literally would just send crazy things. And Pash sent me these pictures. So Dave worked with him. For, I don't know, 10, 20 years, whatever it was, Dave sent me pictures. I haven't seen him yet, but Bill would have a collage or something commissioned every year of him and Dave. And it would usually be a picture of Dave in hell and Bill in heaven type of thing.
It's pretty funny.
It's hilarious. Because he'd call Dave. He'd go, I'm solar and you're cold. You're old. I am the future of everything. So he sent me these pictures. I'm going to go see him at his house. But Bill Walton's widow sent the paintings and pictures that he had commissioned to Dave. So Dave has all of those. And they're going to go take a look at them.
Who has hated your
Jim Rome. Not one to love it.
Still, to this day, I mean.
Don't know. Haven't seen him in a long time. But great is that? I would walk past him at Radio Row at the Super Bowl and not get eye contact.
No, really?
Not cool.
All right, so hold on. How did you know? Did you ever have interaction? Like, where he said, hey.
I walked by him once and he turned. Like, it was one of those.
Oh, he turned away from you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not great.
How can you not love it?
I mean, I don't know. I love the guy. I always thought he was the greatest. Yeah. I mean, there are bits where. You know, when he went to CBS and I was like, doing him on, different shows like To Catch a Predator. Like, is that the type of thing he's going to do? How are those cookies? Enjoying those cookies? Well, guess what? You're going to be enjoying something a lot less than cookies after this. What is up with you getting online and talking to a young girl? Not cool. So he was one. Berman was skeptical.
Oh, really?
I've seen some of the things you do with with Gruden. You're doing a Gruden. You're going to do the Gruden and makeup. What are you going to do with the hair? And I go, be careful about some of that. I guess I could understand that, but you're not doing, are you doing me? Are you doing?
I remember walking out. Stephen A. Smith had a show. So he was at that. He was at ESPN. Then he went to Fox for a while. Do you remember that years ago?
I don't remember going to Fox. I remember his show, Quite Frankly.
Quite Frankly. And then so that show didn't do very well. And then he went over to Fox, and I was going to shoot, one of my Fox bits. And he came out of the elevator. He's like, Mr. Caliendo, of all the impressions and impersonations you do me a favor. Don't ever ever do me. And he was half kidding, you know? He loves it now, too, right, where he's one of those guys. Like, I saw a TikTok one time. It was actually after one of the Super Bowls, and I'd just seen him, so I think that's why he referenced me. They said, who does the best impression of you? And he said, Frank Caliendo. He definitely, you know, it was like right, that kind of a thing.
But home run.
I really think it was because he'd just seen me.
Yeah, that's good, though.
Jay Farrow, Jamie Foxx, two of the top ones. So I'm trying to think who else. Madden didn't like me.
Really?
Yeah, Madden didn't like me at all. I finally met him at that Super Bowl. I do it my act. I met him at the Super Bowl, made his grandkids laugh. He's like, I get it now. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Finally.
Yeah, he had a moment.
Yeah.
Where the Nick Cage casting for Madden?
I've seen the pictures. Here's the thing. Did I tell you about that? Did I not
you
talk
did.
To
him? Yeah, you did. You said they want you to be Cosell or something?
Yeah, they might be. This is how I can. No, I can't. I think it would be distracting in the movie if I'm in them, other than maybe a quick cameo. But I saw the pictures of him dressed up as Madden right, with the padding and stuff like mm-hmm, that. I'm 5'6". I never could have looked anything like that. Mm-hmm. I would have looked like Mini Madden, you know. Right. Throw me a freaking bone here, please. You know, right, like if there was a Mini Madden.
So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe they were thinking it was just sort of like a cameo, like a nod to you.
Yeah, my agent tried to...
To sell you on that idea?
Tried to get me... Did I tell you the part about helping Nicolas Cage?
No.
They wanted me to, maybe I save that. So my agent called me and wanted me, he's like, they want you to talk to Nicolas Cage. They want you to work with Nicolas Cage, him and the director, on a Zoom. And I was like, no. Like, he was like, well, what do you mean no? I'm like, no, I want to go hang out with Nicolas Cage. If I'm going to give him the recipe for the Madden voice, yeah, and explain to him what I do, I want to hang out, I want to ride sidecar to the Ghost Rider, right?
Hold on, you can do that?
I could help him, yeah.
With a talented person, you can
I could do
say,
it with somebody untalented.
You can?
Yeah. You want to try?
No. It's too easy. I'm so untalented, I know I couldn't do it.
No, I know you could, because it's stuff with your throat. But first of all, Nicolas Cage is here. He's up in here, in there. So I know where that starts. I know where his voice starts.
Peach cakes.
Okay.
Madden?
Putting you on the spot.
Well, just the kind of voice we can get to it. So
right,
you have
I'll try to follow your lead. I'll do what I can.
So the first thing you have to do is try and find move your voice around, okay? Mm-hmm. So have I done the Kermit the Frog thing for you guys?
I think you have before.
I'll do a quick thing. So Kermit the Frog. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. And Fozzie Bear is, waka, 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 mm-hmm, okay? Right. Yeah. So go like this. Okay, so you can get that kind of a voice, right? Kermit, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
So you've got two. So you were already doing two impressions.
Okay.
And so now we're going to take the Fozzie Bear, waka, 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 and you're going to move it up a little bit in your throat.
Okay.
So like right, you're... Like,
Waka, waka, I want, I want.
Okay, you're getting there. Watch what I do. You were going high.
Your voice is cracking.
But you were going high. It's in there. Hey, folks.
Hey, folks.
Okay, that's where it starts. He's already starting.
Hey, folks.
So you gotta get that. So now you're adding things to it.
Hey, right, folks.
Let me do one. Let me do one. That was actually pretty good. I mean, it's not. Nobody's gonna go, that is John Madden, but they kind of know.
I know.
But that took me 10 years to do too.
He struggled. Who are the ones you've struggled with? Like you tried to do a Shanny.
Can you do a Shanahan back in the day?
It's hard for more when people are more regional or local because it takes so much time to work.
Shanny was a tough. He was.
What about Gruden?
I've never really tried Gruden.
Well, let's go with something that's even start with. Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
So get as quiet as you can, and you just say, yes. You can. You have to go quieter. Yes, and get as deep as you can.
All right. Yes.
Okay. Oh. Right. So now. Now this is we're doing like 3 years worth of stuff.
Okay.
So you go
advanced training.
So you have a Caliendo University.
Yeah. I do some of these like on TikTok and Instagram and people work on it. But it's more entertainment than actual teaching. But you get it. So you start doing that. Now you start to play with a little bit. And then you get another phrase. So you go yes. You do that for 2 months. Then you get to fact
two
of
months
the matter.
Cakes.
Fact of the matter is
so like all. Yes, I'll be going, yes.
You will. I mean, you. He climbed through 500 yards of the fifth hill slap. I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. But that, I mean, there's a lot there. Yeah. But you go, yes, and then you try. Fact of the matter is.
Just start doing it at the poker table. You're at the poker table for hours upon hours.
I'll get locked up. complete raving psychopath.
That's what I used to do when I worked at indoor baseball softball place. Yeah. My brother used to throw batting practice to Craig Council at this place.
Oh, really?
In Wisconsin. And I just used to walk around as Robin Williams going, oh my God, who knew? Do you need tokens? $5 You just made one free token. Who knew? Come on, play along. Help me. Okay. You know, I just
was
do
he
that
so one. Embarrassed by you? Because
how old were you at the time?
I was 17, 18 years old, just doing it in high school. I remember talking to Craig Council, and he's like, Are you joking right now or not? Like a very serious guy.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like Craig would just stare at me and be like, I don't get it.
Not my kind of guy. All right, Frank, you're going to hang out for another segment. Yeah. It's Frank Caliendo. He's at the DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. DCImprov.com for all of your ticket information. Be sure to go snap some up if there are any left. Frank Caliendo will join us for the next segment here on The Fan. Hanging out in studio with Frank Caliendo. He's at DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. Go to DCImprov.com for tickets.
So it just got me thinking to something we were talking about a minute ago. As we're getting older, you become kind of less hip. So, like, my daughter did an appearance, and she mentioned Alex Earl, and I had no idea who that was.
I don't either.
Right?
No idea.
And apparently, she's super famous on TikTok or Instagram with millions of followers.
All the girls know her.
And then I Wikipedia'd.
And if you do know her, that's a problem.
It'd be weird.
Sometimes it's like if you're scrolling through and those type of people show up on your TikTok, it's jail time.
But then I actually brought this up to Drab earlier because it's somebody that I see on, like, Twitter or Instagram. And I think he's dubbed a comedian, but I'm not quite sure. Do you know who Drewski is?
Yes.
Like, how do people like that become famous?
He's a YouTube guy.
He's not a stand-up.
Yeah. I don't think so. He's in some commercials and stuff like that, and he does some basketball stuff, I think.
I think his background is YouTube. I don't know. I think that's where he kind of
Sketches. I think he does YouTube sketches, like weird things at TSA or something.
Yeah.
Like awkward, almost Tom Green without your parents kind of thing. Like, it's instead of, you know, Tom Green seemed to start that, but maybe 30 years ago or whatever it was, 20 years ago.
He's like a pioneer.
You just kind of go out there and agitate people. I think, I think
he was like pre-Jackass, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right?
No, right before that. Yeah. I mean, when I had a show on the WB, which makes me laugh that I had a show on the WB.
paid.
It was funny because it was called Hype Night on the WB, and 3 weeks later, it was the WB Sunday. We knew that we weren't our name of our show was no longer the name of the night. What was I going? But that's when Jackass was on Against Us at MTV at the time, and we, as bad as our show was, we were getting killed by that too, so we never had a chance. But it's that's agitational kind of comedy, which is what a lot of YouTube is, that giveaway money, those types of things. I think the Drewski
thing. Did you ever do like the Mr. Beast thing, which all the kids do? You know, I think even
Mr. Who?
JP's daughter, you know, is like a TikTok person, and she studied the algorithm. They all study the algorithm to figure out how to get all
well
the
you
views.
Can you can kind of study the algorithm, but it changed. Here's
it
the
constantly
key
changes.
Here's the key: get people to watch a certain amount. I don't know what that amount is, and I don't know if it changes. So you need a certain amount of people to watch a certain amount of your video to go on. Okay. So if you it sends it out to a small group,
right?
So once it sends it out to the small group, if there's, let's say there's 30% of people watching the whole thing or more, it'll go out to a lot more people. If it has 50%, if it's like a certain amount of people watch 70% of it, let's say 40% of people watch 70% of it, it's going out to a bigger group. If people see your video, it's a 45-second video, and it's averaging out to only have 2 seconds watched, done. The views will stop. So if it goes out to that next like grouping, what'll happen is
So you got to grab their attention quick.
Yes.
And hold them.
I mean,
is our attention span so bad that
that's because people just
like, I didn't let you finish the sentence.
Okay,
that's how bad my attention span was.
You answered the question.
But that's how it works, is it goes out to, now some people can circumvent those groups. So if you see somebody who's massive and they always have like, there used to be, and there was a thing that came out in a few years ago, that there was a fire button at TikTok too. Like somebody could just press a button and go, this is going viral. And it would just go out to everybody. There was an article or two written about that.
Like a kingmaker.
Yeah. That type of thing, I think, I don't know if it still does.
A cheat code button. That's
but yeah, that's really what it was. Okay. But there's certain people that that they defy the algorithm. It doesn't matter because they've just kind of beaten it there and they're chosen.
Well, how does
it feel though for somebody that's a comedian who's been working on his craft for years and years that like the Costco guys can blow up?
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. I mean that's why I kind of went to the back. I mean the toughest thing is you can do a video having been on TV or whatever for 20 years and think you know what kind of works. You can do a video like me. Let's say I do a video and it gets 2,000 views and nobody cares. Like it just that's
well hold on. Was it the Hawk Tua girl that all of a sudden was doing stand up? Was it her or was it Bob? No,
I think she had a meme coin.
I think it was Bob. Yeah, she did that.
And then jail time.
I think it was Bobby Altoff, right? The girl that did the awkward interviews.
Right.
And then one of her buddies that she interviewed was a comedian and he took her out on the road and it bombed terribly. Right. I think it lasted like one date.
What a lot of those become are glorified meet and greets because the people who do that stuff can do them in front of a camera but can't work an audience.
Right, of course.
So, but and a lot of comedians hate those people, but I'm like, you do realize that's what's keeping the clubs open and a lot of the venues open.
Yeah.
It's because they come in and say, like the lady who, one of, because there are hundreds or thousands, maybe millions, the lady who puts makeup on and discusses her life as she's putting makeup on, that audience comes out to see that person and they'll spend $100 a person plus drinks at the club on a Tuesday night to see him.
Man,
I mean, it's crazy.
Like, that is insane.
The biggest ones are the ones that kids, so parents will have to buy tickets and go with their kids and they don't even want to go in. So they oversell them. And then they're making money and they're just selling tons of merch at these things. It's crazy. I mean,
well, years ago, my oldest who's 24 was obsessed with Dance Moms on TV. I went to like 4 or 5 meet and greets.
Right, right. That's what I'm talking
about. Over the course of a couple of years, going to convention centers and different
things.
You're
doing all that. My daughter was into Marvel. So, and luckily I had the ability to get backstage and a lot of those stuff, but my daughter ended up meeting Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth. We were sat there while Chris Hemsworth was taking pictures. Thor, the God of Thunder. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So we're taking, women are just coming in and fainting when they see me and him together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You two together.
The two of us. Yeah. Yes. I gave you the look. But I'm sitting there talking to Chris Hemsworth for a while. Chris Evans. I didn't tell you this story.
I don't know.
Well, this is one of my favorites because Josh Brolin and Oliver Stone used me as part of the research for the movie W. So I even have a clip of him talking about that.
I do love your book.
So, of course, you man. It's a good one. Watch how you say it, though.
Context matters.
Context does matter. That's one of those edits that they use in politificational areas. So we go, and I have the same agency as Josh Brolin. We go to Seattle for my daughter's 13th birthday. And we go through line, we kind of skip to the front and take a picture. My wife and I take a picture with Josh Brolin, and it's like she's not even in the picture. Josh Brolin's just looking at me like, is this guy, did I go to high school with him? What is this? So we don't say anything because there's no time because you just kind of get rushed through, and I didn't want to be a problem. But we went through, and I tell my wife, I think he recognized me. And she's like, yeah, right. Yeah. Nobody cares about it. She's just completely... My daughter's like, no, I think so. So I'm calling the agents, and I'm like, can we meet Josh Brolin? Is that possible? If there's anybody here that I think would have time to, 2 minutes to talk to me. I've heard him talk about me in interviews and stuff like that. So we finally get it. The agent goes, you can meet him. No problem. He wants to talk to you. There's one problem. I'm like, oh, no, what's that? And he's like, he's going to be with Chris Evans. I'm like, we will deal with it. So we get there. I'm talking to Brolin. He's like, I knew it was you, man. I just didn't know why you were here.
Yeah.
And then Chris Evans is there and he's kind of doing his own thing because he doesn't know why I'm in this area because it's supposed to be quiet time and relaxation for him.
Yeah.
And Brolin's like, this guy helped me with a movie role.
Yeah.
And Evans like, what role? And I was like, Thanos. He's like, what? And he goes, actually, George W. Bush. He goes, wait a second. And Chris Evans looks at me and goes, who are you? And I go, Frank Caliendo. He goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do Madden. Do Madden. Right. He starts going, do Madden. And when you did Bill Belichick and you did this and you did that, and my daughter's like, Are you?
You're cool.
Crapping me. What on earth is going on here?
How is this happening?
Right. Yeah. So we get done. We go off to the side. He's like, yeah, take pictures. Take pictures. Everybody get pictures. Yeah. So we get the pictures. Meanwhile, I mean, Chris Evans is hitting me like with the super soldier serum. Every time he's like, do mad, he's just smacking me around.
Right. By the way, that's the guy you don't want to take a picture with. Chris Evans. I mean, you're going to look horrible standing next to
Captain
America.
Bad for him. I feel bad for him.
So
we go and we go out of the pipe and drape kind of area that they're taking pictures. They come out for another break a little bit later. Chris Evans sees me. He's like, Frank, come here, man. And we're talking. He's like, where are you guys staying? All this stuff. He's talking for a little bit. And Juliet, where are you from? You know, all this kind of stuff. And then he goes back in. He gets called back into work. And my daughter goes, that was unbelievable. I go, why? She goes, because he didn't have to talk to you there. He wanted to talk to you there. And she goes, this is the best day of my life. And I'm like, well, kid, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
This is
prepare
at 13.
For disappointment.
At 13, you've peaked as far as your dad goes.
But, dude, you scored points. With your teenage daughter. That's
no, she's
huge.
I had another one. I'm sorry. This is just pathetic.
No, I
abuse this stuff. I never do it. Like, my son was hanging out with Kyler Murray a little bit when he was drafted and, like, this kind of stuff.
Son's probably taller than him, too.
About the same height. About the same height.
I'm goofing. He's probably two inches taller than I am.
No, he's taller than me. I mean, I have weird pictures, like, for me, like, on The Tonight Show with Tom Cruise, and it looks like I'm going to eat him. That's how fat I was then. Like, I'm one of the aliens. We're going to devour you. I set it up. This was actually a TikTok moment. So I commented on a Michael Bublé video. Right. And I'm coming to see you in Vegas in a couple weeks. He goes, he messages me, DMs me or messages me, says, what's your number? And I am talking to Michael
Bublé. He's scanning his comments.
Yeah. He's actually looking at his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we end up talking. He's like, you're really coming? I'm like, yeah. He goes, do you want to come up during the show? That would be great. Yeah. I was like, but my daughter's going to be there and my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've got an idea. So in the show, he's talking, he's doing an Elvis impression or something in Vegas, right? And he's like, oh, thank you very much. He does that. And he goes, listen, I'm no Frank Caliendo up here. And my wife looks at me. Do you think he does that every show? I'm like, I have no idea. It's really weird. So then he comes down in a show. He's like, I'd like to dedicate a song right here. And he comes down and he looks and he goes, Juliet, where are you? Juliet is here. And my wife and my mother-in-law and Juliet go, what is happening? Right. I'm like, I know people.
That's all.
So I have connections.
It was that. And I never have anything that gets me on TV or anything, or actually like in movies, but I have things where people shout outs during shows.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I abuse those for my kids. I don't really care about for me, but if I can get somebody to meet my kids or my wife, my daughter is a massive F1 fan. And we got hooked up with these people, the F1 Experience people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They also do another company, but they're a sister company that do like the NBA. A bunch of NBA stuff like Summer League and those types of things. But we go and we sit in the in a special area for the F1 stuff. And she loves Charles Leclerc and the whole Ferrari team. We got in the pit and she got pictures with Charles Leclerc. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, you're scoring. It's crazy.
And my daughter wants to be in PR. And that's part of the reason I do it is because she knew she wrote her senior high school thesis on the moments that made her realize she didn't want to ever be in front of camera. She wanted to be behind the camera and be PR for people that she thought she could help in those ways, you know, make more famous or something like that. So when we were back in the pits, when I don't even know what it's all called, but we're in the pits and she's like, this is cementing the fact that I want to do this for a living. And
did she get the F1 from the series?
No, she liked the car. She just, I think there's a lot of good-looking young drivers. I think that's part of it. But she watches the series and is like, I don't know. She wants more numbers and stuff like that. She likes the...
She just likes it.
She likes the race and the drama of some of that stuff.
All right, we have Frank Caliendo hanging out with us at least all hour. It's very nice of him to share that time with us. He's at DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. You can go to DCImprov.com to check on tickets for his shows. More with Frank Caliendo when we come back. So during the break with Frank Caliendo in studio, there was some
a rift,
some issues with the air conditioning and the thermostat.
A lot of thermostat tug of war issues.
EV freezing. Frank was burning up when he came in, and
I didn't say anything.
But I can understand him wanting the AC on because He lives on the surface of the sun. He lives in freaking Phoenix.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so hot all the time.
I don't know.
It's just... All he wants is some air conditioning, and EB's coughing all the time.
I'm coughing.
It's always cold.
And you're making it 62 degrees in here. I can't function. It's like Alaska. I can't.
There's no in-between in this studio for some reason.
I know how to operate a thermostat. You put it on 70. It'll stop when it hits 70.
Yeah, but you actually put the heat on, realizing that... When I'm in a room, it starts to get warmer because I'm Robin Williamsing it around and running, jumping around and stuff. And,
I didn't feel that.
Yeah.
I was okay. No,
it was very cold.
Heat.
It was honestly cold in here. It was Letterman audience cold.
Yeah, right?
Cakes is, I forget. Are you the one that's not allowed to touch your thermostat in your house
or
your wife doesn't touch it?
No. I trust my wife. She's better with the thermostat than I am. So she's just better.
Bad at a thermostat.
She's just better. I'm not that good at it. I'm not that good at a lot of
things. Anybody else getting warm in here? Yeah.
She's just better at manipulating the thermostat.
What does
than
that
I am.
Mean?
Well, she presses the down.
It means he's stupid. It means he's not allowed to touch the thermostat.
Or he doesn't, or he doesn't thermostat, know how to use it. At least mine has this down button or an up button.
I just need it to be 71 or 72 at all times.
You can do the one that you can either set for cold or hot or keep it in a range.
I know how to work it.
Yeah.
She's just better at it.
When you go to the hotel, do you call her up and say, how do I work the thermostat?
When I go to the hotel, I go right to the thermostat and I knock it down as low as it can go.
So you
can
work
degrees.
That one, but you just can't work the home one?
I had a better line. I go sit in a chair and watch.
Yeah, she's better at the home thermo than I am. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Well, you know, he has a unique relationship with his wife. They've been married how many years now?
30 plus.
30 plus.
That's
I didn't
too
marry
long.
My 28.
That's, that's about 31 too long. Yeah. I've been married for 21 years, so.
But his wife, like, they don't argue about it. Meanwhile, like, I think most guys I know, like, my wife is disappointed in me maybe a dozen to 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Disappointment.
That's not even
sadness.
Bad. Mine's per hour.
Yeah, right. His, like, he can't go, he can think of, like, a decade where they haven't had an argument. Like, they just... They don't fight. Like they don't
that's because you
small.
Just get along
She's
with
never
everything.
Disappoint.
You never. That's because you never. You are. You acquiesce all the time. Which I've gotten into moments where I do that. I've had times where I do that, and then I blow up, and it's like, it's just tough.
No,
to,
he
it's
doesn't
a tough
blow up though.
Yeah, not a lot that's of blow up moments.
But she doesn't blow up either.
No, not really.
Well, that's because you're always saying okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Maybe.
That
maybe
really, that does
is
work.
Is that what it is?
That does work.
Yeah.
Because I'll
that's
have...
why he went to visit, or he went to see Owls on an NFL Sunday.
I did, when the Commanders were on a bye week. I took my wife to an owl experience. Like you put on the big glove that lands on your arm, that whole thing.
Here's what it was. That's the whole thing.
There's a lot of that.
Maybe some trash pickup. Is that owl? Did that one make an appearance? Honest to God, it's getting warm in here.
Yeah.
It's starting to get warm.
Right?
Come on. Stop at 70.
Hey, somebody call Amy Allville.
You guys, you guys know I can't do the voices at a certain heat, right?
Right. It doesn't
I tell you what,
eight.
Man. I know how to work a thermostat. You know who does? You know, Cindy Gruden, she can't work one. I do all the thermostature in our place, man. When I'm opening up boxes,
I
need it to be 68 degrees.
Hold on, Drabby has that beef with me.
You have a guest in here. You treat the guest with respect. He says he likes the AC on, and you spit in his face.
Because I'm freezing. So at some point, the host can't freeze. Here's the thing. I love Frank. He's one of our greatest guests. I'm not willing to
give
freeze.
Up your comfort. You're not willing to give up comfort.
You wonder why he has disputes with his wife.
Because I can't just say okay. I can't just say okay. I have to stand up for myself. And I was freezing. So I need a little.
I agree. It was cold. It was getting like to the point, but I would rather be cold.
Rather be cold than hot.
Than where it's about to get to right now.
Listen, I can see that it now says 73. It makes no sense because a heater cuts off when it hits the temperature that it cuts off.
I've been telling you for a decade.
It's a broken thermostat.
It's either 100 or 60 in here.
Okay, then we need to get it fixed.
Even a broken thermostat's right twice a day. No, it's not.
If you set it at 70, it will stop. A normal one stops at 70.
Frank left Phoenix. He left Phoenix, so he didn't have to sweat his balls off. Now he's sweating his balls off in D.C.
I was going to go Trump on it. We're going to have the best heat.
Yeah, I want the best heat.
I
want the best heat.
A lot of people are saying that we can. I do love library Trump, where yep. we
look at the Dewey Decimal System, and we only go for the nonfiction system. But we're doing tremendous things with thermostats.
All right, Grabby, do me a favor. What? I want you to explain to Frank and to our audience what you're doing in like 2 days.
Can you fix the thermostat first?
Getting an HVAC certificate.
All right, well, I mean, this is going to be weird with Frank here, but well, I guess we'll just do it.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody has side deals here and endorsements, etc. And you've been looking for an endorsement for a long time.
It's not
long
that
time.
I've been looking for an endorsement. I've been looking to change my life and make it better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've teased the audience with this for years. Everyone knows the struggles I've been going through.
All right.
Well, it's finally happened. I've signed the paperwork. We're on board together. And in 2 days, I'm getting a hair transplant.
Yeah. Go,
can you take off the hat?
Show Frank.
Oh yeah, you deserve that.
All right, so I'm hooking up with our P1 Dr. Burka, who called in many months ago. He's from the Maine Center of Advanced Hair Restoration in Bethesda, and I'm starting the journey.
Very good.
And that's when Frank realized that's the best thing that could ever happen to Matt.
No, but Matt, tell him. How far gone he is.
42.
42. Yeah, you deserve something. I mean, you look like NBA broadcast analyst. Right? 42. Yeah, that's
and Drabby, isn't it unusual that someone that's lost as much as you have that they can actually still hook you?
Dr. Burka said you had more hair than I thought.
Oh,
when,
really?
When I went in for my consultation.
Does he farm for little baby hairs? Like they look for little peach fuzz kind of
hair? Yeah, yeah. So what they're going to do is they're gonna harvest all the hairs in the back of the head, the donor area, and then they're going to place them
the
up.
The donor
front.
Area.
So then do you lose, your? Does the back of your hair goes higher then? Or that grows back? Or how does
that's
that
a great question.
You can, if you're a poor doctor, if you can do an over harvest where you pluck too many out and then you have patches in the back of your head, but they're not going to do that.
Oh,
they
know I see.
They know you can just use my back for mine.
Right.
I think you can do that on some people. Like they'll pull from their beard or other places on their body.
Well, the doctor, can we give the doctor pubes?
Yeah, right.
No, that would be amazing.
I know this
amazing.
Is your fantasy for me to have pubes on. I'm not going to have pubes on my head.
No, right.
You eventually have a full head of hair.
I'm not going to be, it's not going to look like McConaughey.
Who's it going to look like? Give us an example.
Jeff Van Gundy.
It might look like Frank.
Really?
Yeah.
Like kind of thinning.
Well, not
thinning.
No.
Frank, you're going to sit there and take that?
That's just what I said.
I mean, it's not great. I've got the full widow's peak.
There's, yeah, I mean, I have too.
They're not going to come in. Like, you're a donk if you go into the doctor and say, I want a hairline like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And people do that, and they look ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
We probably know.
So it should be age appropriate.
It should be age appropriate. Yeah. And it'll make it look
is it
very
permanent?
Natural. Oh yeah. Rest of my life.
But so you won't lose the new hair they put in.
No. No,
and hold on.
That's a pretty good deal.
But you have to, this is gonna be a 2-step process, right? Because they have to go harvest twice.
Most likely they're gonna have to do a second procedure a year from now.
Well, you have those
most
tracks.
Most people don't need that. Most people don't need that.
Like I used to see people that would get the plugs, it'll look.
How's it different from plugs?
Okay. I got it. It's not hair plugs. And if Valdez is going to call it hair plugs, and I'm going to jump over the console and tackle him.
Yeah.
They're not hair plugs. That's
what
from like
it?
The 80s
okay.
where they would
okay. literally, it's different technology.
They would literally punch like the skin out of your head and plug it in the
I
front.
I think Sam Wiener did that.
Sam Wiener did that.
Yeah.
No, they're just the technology advanced so much. They're making able to take the grafts of hair out and then place them in the front.
Like
so
an implant.
It'll grow naturally.
So okay. they it's surgical, then they
yes.
that's how they plant
are
it.
Are they going to knock
it lasers?
You out?
No, I'll be awake.
Is it lasers, he said?
I'm not. No, I don't believe so.
So they pull the whole hair out? I don't quite understand. Like, you get the root of the hair.
They'll pull the whole follicle out.
And then they replant it.
Yes.
How's that different than a freaking hair plug? I don't understand the difference.
They would literally punch your skin out. Like a block, a square of
like a chunk of
a
skin,
chunk, and it would grow like a doll hair or something.
We're getting lost in the weeds. The bottom line is he's going to have hair.
I love the word harvest.
Yeah,
that
right.
you're saying over and over again.
What I love about it is the awkward phase.
Like it's wine or something.
So what day are you having the procedure?
Thursday morning.
All right. Are you going to be on the show Friday?
No, but I will call in on Thursday from the chair.
All right. Are you going to be on the show on Monday?
Monday's Memorial
Tuesday.
Day. Tuesday. I'll be back. I'll do a big unveiling.
Yeah, okay.
Long. Now, look. It's reveal.
Not, can you wear a hat during the time?
Right.
Can you wear a hat during
the time? I can wear a hat after.
Starting what day?
Hopefully Tuesday.
Yeah, but what if not?
That's, and will you be wearing a hat? Hopefully Tuesday.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's not so it'll look exactly the same.
I mean, a lot of people in Hollywood get hair transplant. Yeah, I mean, this is something that a lot of people do, and they just hide for a little bit.
Right.
There are quite a few people. If you look at Matthew McConaughey's hair,
he was
thinning, guys. I mean, there was a time.
Wasn't Tom Brady known for that too?
Yeah.
If you have a good doctor, you just don't realize it for a certain time. But people hide for a little while and come back, and it's there.
I don't like the fact that Drab said he's going to wear a hat after Tuesday. It's like new boob. Show him off.
No.
I want to see the hair.
No, because it's going to look terrible.
I got to believe this is a good doctor too, because in DC, in the DC area, I'm sure there are a lot of high level people that get them that have to, like, anytime somebody runs for president, notice they have a whole new face, a whole new head of hair.
Yeah.
But they don't hide for that time. You get the opportunity. Yeah, I think that's great. Good for you. So I would never do it, but
like hibernating.
What are you going to look like on Tuesday? Like, are you going to look like you just had a massive surgery on your head?
It's not going to look pretty.
What about the back of your head?
But here's the thing. I'm embarrassing myself. I'm like, people don't go show people this process. They, like Frank said, they hide.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to take that bullet.
For Tuesday.
Yeah. Except for Tuesday. No, I'm going to show people the process.
Super Tuesday. Everyone, we show the process. We're gonna be the most. We're gonna give all the way the secrets.
Well, that's the way. Also, you'll be a huge asset to the company.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
There will be a lot of scabs.
So much added value.
It won't look. It's
the back of your head going to look trifling? What's going to look worse, the back of your head or the top of your head?
The front of his face.
The top of my head will be very red. And
what about the back of your head where they harvest?
I heard there was a thing. I thought there was a thing where that before you do this, you can't be too warm. Is that?
Yes, that's a thing.
I thought there was a thing that in the room next to you, it can't be too warm. Or it makes trouble for you having the hair.
Yes.
I think it is documented. Official that it's not working. So you should just get it fixed. The studio's burned the junk. It should be fixed.
We'll have Roger come in. Frank can meet Roger.
Yeah.
Right, Frank,
you gotta meet Roger.
Frank, you gotta meet Roger.
Like a station engineer.
Hey guys.
What's going on?
Way beyond that.
Frank, you're welcome to join us as long as you want. It's Frank Caliendo. He's at the DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. There are still a few general admission tickets left, but a lot of the tickets are sold out. So be sure to go to DCImprov.com right now for tickets.